Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first ever podcast of First Baptist Church, Savannah, Georgia. I'm your host, Josh Brewer, and joined tonight by Kyle Ballantyne and Lauren Caldwell. As I said, this is the first podcast for us. This is a new venture that we hope people will be excited about and people will get a lot out of and enjoy listening to week in and week out. Some of the things that we want to accomplish with this podcast are to look at a lot of the events that have happened in the life of the church, past events and future events. But also, we want to unpack and look ahead at some of the Sunday worship services that we're having. One thing we want to do is look at the previous week's service, especially at the sermon. Many times when pastors and speakers are getting ready for a talk, there's a lot of things that they have to edit out. And so they can't put everything that they want to in the 20 and 30 minutes that is given for the sermon. And so we want to dig a little bit deeper, ask some of the questions of things that may have come up from the sermon, and also that the text that the sermon was about is presenting that we never really got to. We also want to look forward to the sermon that's coming up and to the worship service that is coming up, and to look at the scripture and the text that's going to be preached on and ask some big questions from those and have a conversation with the folks who are going to be preaching those sermons. We also are going to, in the future, have some special guests. Some members of the church are going to be on, and they are going to talk to us about their life and the ways that they have been involved in ministry and the things that they are doing at First Baptist Church as well. Hope you all will enjoy this and listen to it every week. Tonight, we are going to have a conversation between Kyle and Lauren and I about upcoming Advent events, because there are tons of them. There are lots coming on the calendar, and so the three of us are going to have a conversation about what those events are and what people should expect at those events. So, Lauren, the women of FBC, they have been active. I mean, y'all have had something every month. So tell us about some of those activities. But most recently, y'all went to the Art Bash, I think?
Yeah, we did. We started back in September with these activities, and we started with a movie night. Everybody brought their favorite dip to share, and we watched a movie together. Nancy Sutton was nice enough to host for us, as she usually is. And then we went to the Wild Dock restaurant. We had a nice evening outside. The weather was perfect, so we had dinner together.
Saw pictures of that. It looked really good.
Yeah, it was. It was really awesome. And then several of us got together at the Art Bash studio and painted a scene of the bridge, which is not exactly accurate because there's buildings on both sides, and as we know, there really aren't. But we had a lot of fun. There were old people, young people, newer prospective members, and people who've been members for a long time.
So. Fantastic. So who had the best art, do you think?
Ooh, I'm not going to say.
Okay. Who had the worst art?
Also not going to say that.
Not going to say that
no.
either.
No. But actually, they all looked really good, actually.
Yeah, I saw pictures of that, too, and they did look good. Kyle, did you see some of that?
I did. I love that. That's an awesome, that Art Bash painting thing.
I think Kyle's so a little jealous. He wanted to come with the women of FBC.
It looked like a blast.
Maybe we can have a men of FBC painting night.
I think you should.
Right.
You know, also, we're coming off of Thanksgiving week. Many of us are back to work if we had a Thanksgiving holiday. Kyle, you're back in town. You traveled home.
I did. I was up in Ohio.
Whew. Was it cold?
It was. It was really nice to come back to Savannah.
I was about to say, where it is not cold
it's
at all.
Decorating for Christmas in 80-degree weather.
Tomorrow's, in shorts.
Tomorrow's about to be December 1st, and it's still hot.
Yeah.
But we came off of Thanksgiving, and during the month of November, the Spiritual Formation Committee, Calendar of Gratitude, where every single day they came up with an exercise for people to do. Lauren, you're the head of that committee, or the
liaison
for that. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, we had like you said, we had an activity or an idea or something to do every day, and some of them were easier, and some of them were more difficult. And depending on what kind of person you are, that would depend on what was easier and what was more difficult.
That's
for example, one day we said, give five people a hug.
That's right.
Now, for some of us, that's really easy. Mm-hmm. For other people, that might be a struggle. Some were just reading scripture and reflecting on that, and others were writing letters. Some were encouraging you to call people. Some encouraged you to interact with total strangers.
Yeah.
So it was supposed to be about growing gratitude in your life.
Did you get to do any of it?
I did some, and I actually witnessed one. The youth and I were out one evening. We had gone to the trampoline park and were having dinner, and two of our church members actually ended up sitting behind us at dinner that evening. And when we went to pay, we found out that they had already paid for us.
Awesome.
So they apparently had read their calendar and were practicing some gratitude.
Fantastic. Which, by the way, have you ever been to one of those trampoline parks?
I've been twice now with our teenagers.
Yeah.
Did you feel safe?
No, not at all. I was certain someone was going to break their neck. I wouldn't recommend it for a classics event. But,
well, we'll talk to them about that and see if they want to jump in on that.
I mean, Lynn Bronner might really want to try.
He probably would. That's right. He'd do well with that. You know, also this past week, yesterday was our first Sunday of Advent. Mm-hmm. And we've got a lot of things planned. If you've looked at the FBC calendar for the Advent season, boy, you know, it is. There's something every week, and many weeks there's two things.
Right.
Maybe even three, you know.
Yes.
But all leading up to Christmas. And yesterday, like I said, we started the first Sunday of Advent. And before we unpack that, though, I thought maybe we could talk about what Advent is anyway. I didn't grow up in a tradition that celebrated Advent, so Advent was kind of new to me. First hearing about it when I went to middle school at a Catholic school, and that was the first time I ever heard about Advent. But not until I was in graduate school did I attend a church that actually celebrated and observed Advent. So I wonder if for you, Lauren and Kyle, what are some of the things that you grew up seeing around the Advent season, or maybe even some traditions for Advent?
I really didn't grow up in a church that talked a whole lot about Advent. Certainly we had the hanging of the greens and preparing for Christmas, but we sang Christmas hymns all throughout the month of December.
Yeah, I didn't even know there was a difference between Advent hymns and Christmas hymns until I was in my 20s.
Well, right, and then I went to college and I visited different churches, and some did some Advent practices and activities and some didn't, and then I learned certainly in seminary about liturgical seasons and all that kind of thing.
Sure.
So really growing up, I didn't have any Advent traditions, plenty of Christmas traditions. Right. Most of my Advent traditions come from First Baptist Savannah.
Yeah. Kyle, did you have Advent?
My experience was very similar. We didn't. We kind of, I think, eased into Christmas music and sermons kind of took on a shape of all that. I think when I was in high school and I was playing at different churches around town, some of them observed Advent, and so I remember vividly things like families lighting the Advent wreath. Hmm. That's probably the first time I realized something was going on with Advent. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, by the way, speaking of Christmas music, what are your rules on Christmas music? Like, for me, I don't want to hear it until after Thanksgiving.
Exactly.
Oh, I've been playing it for 2 months.
Awesome.
Although I did, while we're getting ready for some of these Advent services, I would have it on in my office to get in the mood.
Well, that makes sense.
That's right. I did walk by. You even asked me what a Christmas music channel was.
That's
so don't act like...
Okay.
But that makes sense, Kyle. That's part of your job. You're
supposed
to already
like you're
be
planning. I mean, you know, in July, not always, but you're planning early for Advent and Christmas. So.
Yeah, every once in a while, I'll be around folks who would want to play Christmas music like November 1st, and I was like, no, we're not doing it yet.
Well, that was me, but
okay,
but that's okay.
I mean, there's not really Thanksgiving music, but I just love that season so much and what it stands for, and so
yeah.
I kind of want to focus on that. But
I just want to celebrate it longer. That's all.
That's fair.
So, Lauren, tell us what Advent is. Like, tell us a little bit about just what Advent does and what it celebrates and what it observes and what its purpose is in the church calendar. It's actually the beginning of the church calendar.
It is. We are starting over in the church calendar. In fact, we did on Sunday in our liturgical year. And Advent is the season of preparation. It's getting ready for the coming of Christ.
Right. Even in your children's sermon, you
told
the kids to
say
Happy
New Year.
That's right.
Yeah. And so it's us preparing our hearts, preparing ourselves. And unfortunately you already talked about our really packed church schedule. We don't always do a great job of that in the month of December. We're really good at being busy.
That's right.
Yeah. We're not really good at meditating, thinking, reflecting on what it is we're actually doing and what we're actually celebrating.
Yeah. And so Advent is 4 weeks.
It's four weeks long. Each Sunday we light a candle in the Advent wreath, and each candle represents something different: hope, peace, joy, and love.
Is that what it is this year? I know sometimes churches will
churches use different things.
That's right, make it a theme, or maybe they'll pick each candle be a person in the Christmas story, right, and they talk about them. So this year
we're sticking with the traditional hope, peace, joy, and love this time.
Yeah, and Lauren, I know most years you pick, I don't want to say like a theme of people, but like a certain group of people to light those candles. Right. Like one year it was the children, one year it was the youth. I think the college students were one year.
Yeah, sometimes I feel like it's a contest. Everybody wants to know who's going to get to do it this year.
So right now you could have actually the toddlers do it if you really wanted to. That. We have enough of them. Yeah.
They dress up as ministers.
I mean, Henry and Story already have robes.
That's right.
So
that's right. For Halloween.
They could do that.
So this year, what is the... I guess the group of people who are lighting the candles.
This year we are highlighting our adult Sunday school teachers or representatives of those classes. Hmm. We have five adult Sunday school classes. And so a teacher and one class doesn't actually have teachers. They all teach.
Right.
So we have teachers and representatives of one of the classes doing the litany and lighting each Sunday.
Cool. And usually that takes the form of you and the person having a liturgy that you
right,
say together.
Right, we go back and forth together.
And then light the candle.
That's right.
Right. Lauren wrote a very nice one this week.
Thank you.
She always does.
Really
Thank
did.
Thank you.
I know, I think a lot of people don't know that you write most of those.
I have. Every year I've been here, I've written all of them, actually.
Which is a real talent.
Thank
it
you.
It is.
I've sat down to write stuff like that, and I'm like, oh gosh, I don't know what to say.
I really enjoy
Jesus
it.
Is good.
Right.
Light the candle.
Now we're going to light a candle. No, I really enjoy it. It's one of my favorite things to do all year.
You know, earlier this week, or I guess I should say last week, we actually decorated the sanctuary of FBC, which is always beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so, Kyle, what are some of the things that we put in the sanctuary for the Advent and Christmas season?
Some of the very iconic things, I think, are the Chrismon trees that mm-hmm. we put up. They're Christmas tree-looking things, evergreen-looking trees, but they're special because they've got these ornaments on them that represent different aspects of our Christian story and of our faith. So there are two of those in the front of the sanctuary that are beautiful, and that were actually, all those ornaments were constructed by people from our congregation, and they've been reused through the years, and they really are an important part, I think, of our story.
And what a lot of people don't know is that there is a certain way that those ornaments are supposed to go on the tree.
Right.
Really?
There's a crown of thorns and a crown of, is it the crown of glory, perhaps? Anyway, that one, the crown of glory has to go above the crown of thorns. There's all sorts of rules. And if you want to know, Eleanor Blood can tell you every
That's right.
one of them.
That's
true. I remember a couple of years ago, we had like a Chrismon workshop where we were making some new ones.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
And we that might need to do that again. That might be an activity this summer that we take on.
There we go. I think Sarah Davis said she has a kit.
She does.
That's supposed to help
She's
with that.
She's ready.
She's ready to use
She's
it,
ready.
So we're ready to take
she
her up on it.
She wants the women of FBC to do it, but I think we could all do it.
Yeah, come on. I went in on that.
Okay. All right.
We can make that a women and men of
yes,
FBC.
Yes, everybody.
And then we'll paint a picture together at the end of it, right?
Sure. Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So we've got the decorating that happened earlier this week, and y'all were a part of that. Mm-hmm. But Kyle, also in this Advent season, you get to pick out some Advent hymns. I remember, just a while ago, I said I didn't even know there was a difference between the two.
Right.
But what are some of those? What are some of those favorite Advent hymns for you?
Oh man. Come Thou Long Expected Jesus.
That's one of my favorites too.
There's a debate. There are two tunes in our hymnal.
Mm-hmm.
Some people like, one or the other. O Come Emmanuel.
Yeah.
Has always been a favorite of mine. All kinds of, there are like 20 really great Advent hymns in our hymnal. That we try to use during the season.
Lauren, you got any favorites?
I think he actually mentioned both of my favorites. I love both of those. I also, though they're not strictly Advent, but I really love how we change the doxology and the Gloria during this season. As well as you did a new prayer response.
Yeah, we did a prayer response. In past years, we haven't actually done a sung prayer response, so that was something, a new element that existed just because we were trying some different things with worship this year. So it allowed the chance to do that. And we used Away in a Manger, one of the verses that talked about, "Be near me, Lord Jesus." Right.
And I think we actually pointed out maybe in our staff meeting today that it talks about praying. You don't often, when you sing that song, you don't often think it has a relationship to praying.
Right, until you kind of put it right in that context and it stands out. Yeah. And the Glorias that we use, there are, I think, four different tunes with different texts.
Mm-hmm.
And James Richardson wrote those
right
during his time here.
So his legacy lives on.
It's going to be hard to get away from that legacy. Yes. It's a good one. I think the two that y'all mentioned were actually the two that I was going to mention, too. "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus." Mm-hmm. Love that hymn. For me, there is a Christmas album that I have that is always the first album that's played every year after Thanksgiving. Uh-huh. Because we don't do Christmas music before
Some
Thanksgiving. And the song that is the first song of that, it's all kind of acoustic Advent and Christmas music, and that's the first one, just guy and his guitar playing. It's a great tune.
Nice.
And so whenever we sing it in service, that's what I think of. Gosh, beautiful hymn. But Kyle, there's tons of other stuff coming up. Gosh, we got, as we've said, a full calendar. So what are some of these things that are coming up for the Advent season?
Well, this Sunday we're going Christmas caroling,
which is always a favorite.
It is a huge thing. This will be my third year Christmas caroling, and I'm still kind of blown away that this church embraces it the way that they do. Mm. I don't know, what would you say? 25, 30 people sometimes?
Oh, I would say 30, 35 people, yeah.
Come out to Christmas carol to people who are in nursing homes or at home and can't really get out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we go and share a little bit of Christmas cheer with them. It's a great thing. And then afterwards, we go to Nancy Sutton's house. Mm-hmm. And eat some good food and have fellowship together.
Yeah, that's a good time. It's just really neat to see all generations come together to go and sing.
And it's perfect. The kids can be involved because they can sing, and we take along chimes like that we use for the bell choir, and they're color coded along with our words that we sing. And anybody, you know, you don't have to be musical; you just have to be able to match your color.
You just need a little bit of rhythm.
a little bit. Or not. There are 30 other people, so
yeah,
you never know.
Yeah, right. Right.
No worries.
I think what you're saying is not everybody has rhythm. That's what you were hinting at.
I think that's what I was hinting at.
Right,
but,
right.
But if you want to chime, you go right ahead.
Right. And that's this Sunday, December 6th.
That's this Sunday, that's right.
Going to have some chili after that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I also have loved in the past how after we're done caroling and after we're done eating chili, many times we will sit around and sing some more carols. And it's just a good feel.
Right. Definitely.
Definitely.
Yeah, it is.
So, Kyle, some of the things that are coming up. Also, Christmas on Chippewa Square. Tell us about that. In years past, we have done like Christmas by candlelight.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, a little something different.
Something a little different, yeah. We're still doing the candlelight thing, so we'll get to that. But the Christmas on Chippewa Square thing is a new idea. All this talk about Advent and sort of the pensive nature, you know, a lot of minor songs, a lot of looking ahead and thinking ahead and preparing yourself. I think Lauren and I kind of decided that it would be nice to feature, first of all, some of our talented people at the church, and let them share some music, but also just let the congregation come and have some fun and sing some festive, well-known Christmas music. So we're going to break from the liturgical calendar a little bit, and we're going to do some carol singing and just throw in some favorites there. I hope that all three choirs are going to be involved and do a piece for that.
And by that, you mean our children?
I mean our children.
Our adults.
And our bell choir.
Right.
That's right. That's
just
right.
Checking.
Still those groups, you're right.
And the ministerial quartet, right?
Yes. Uh-huh. Right.
We better get practicing.
That's right, the little known fourth choir.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes. Yeah, but we've
although there are several for real, there are people who are playing some instruments, right?
We've got John Fox is going to play his violin. John Pollock has actually written an arrangement of the Coventry Carol for piano that he's going to play that night for the first time. And we've got some soloists. Emily Richardson Dion is going to sing a setting of Ave Maria, which everybody loves. Yeah. So, yeah, it looks like it's going to be a really cool night.
It's supposed to be more celebratory.
It is. Something different for us, for the church in this season. Exactly.
Yeah.
And then the week after that, we go back to being reflective.
That's right. But it's appropriate because it's the Sunday right before Christmas Eve. And so people, I feel like at that point, if you weren't busy already, you certainly are by then. And you've almost reached that point of being overwhelmed by, I don't know if it's gift buying, if it's family in town, if it's preparing to travel, if it's already having been traveling. There's just so much. And it seems like people need time to just stop.
Try and rest.
just rest and breathe. Stop and breathe. Yeah, and so that's more.
So what we're going to offer is, we're calling it Music and Meditation by Candlelight, but our FBC folks will know to associate it a lot with Organ Music by Candlelight, which is something that was started, I don't know how many years ago.
About 4 years ago, I think.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Four or five.
Four or five. Mm-hmm. So that was the lights were all dim in the sanctuary. There were all kinds of candles lit. It was just a quiet atmosphere, and there would be organ music that people could come in and listen to, for an hour and a half.
And we also offered communion for people who were interested.
Right. They could come up to the rail and take communion during any time that they wanted to come up for that. And people really seem to respond to that. I think that's an important, and it's a really good, it meets a need, I think, for people.
I think it does,
In the church. But we wanted to just add a little bit to that service. And so the music part is going to be very much the same. I'm going to be playing organ music that's, quiet and reflective during that time. The lights are still down. We'll have candles.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to add some other elements.
Yeah, there will be some other elements to that service. There'll be a prayer time that's guided in some way. We will have candles, and we're going to use those in the service. People might have an opportunity to light one for various reasons of significance to them. And communion will, again, be offered for people who are interested. They can come forward and receive that if they want to, though they don't have to. They don't have to do any of that. If they just want to sit and listen, that's fine, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's still a very laid-back evening with a lot of organ music.
Every year that I'm able to go, a lot of times Nikki and I go out of town for Christmas, and we're not here for that. That's one of my favorite services of the whole year.
I've heard a lot of people say that.
Yeah, I have too. Yeah. And I will say, while we're talking about all of these events, there is nursery available for all of them.
Yes.
For people who, speaking of sitting and being quiet for a minute, we do have a nursery that's open during all of these events.
That is good.
Not that we discourage children participating, but if you need your children to be in a nursery, they are able to be.
That's one of those things that by that time in the Christmas season, we need some quiet for those of us who have small children. So nursery is greatly appreciated.
I understand.
In that. Before we get to the Christmas Eve service, talking about Advent, some other things that are Advent traditions at FBC, the Morning Star Angel Tree tradition, which, Lauren, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I don't know. I know that we did it last year. I don't know how many years before that we have done it, but I think in my time, this might just be the second time, but we do a lot of things with Morningstar Children and Family Services in Brunswick, Georgia, and it's a facility for children who have been abused. They've been in several different group homes, foster care situations. They are children who life has been hard for them, and they certainly need some loving care in whatever ways they can get that. And so we take the names of some of those children, and they've written Christmas lists, basically things that they need, things that they want, and a lot of those things are clothing. And so we've prepared, Shannon Wilhite actually has prepared some angels that will hang on the tree in Lewis Hall. And each angel has a child's name and a gift that they've requested. And so if you take an angel or three, you purchase those gifts. There's a way you can tear off the bottom and put it in the box that she's made so that she knows who took which gift. And then if you'll just bring, if we ask that you bring those back to the church, by Wednesday, December 16th, and, then they'll be delivered down to Brunswick, but it's not hard. No. It doesn't take up a whole lot of your time.
Yeah. It's a great family activity too.
Yeah, it really is. And particularly if you have children, you go and get, if you have a 5-year old, if you go get a 5-year old kid and say, what do you think they would like? They get to go pick it out. Yeah. So, or if you don't have children, and would really love to go buy toys, and because you don't have the opportunity to do that, then it's a great thing to do. So,
I mean, it really is a great thing to do. What better way to reach out and do something for people during the Christmas season than buy Christmas gifts for
that you're already probably doing anyway? So just add one more.
Right.
Yeah.
Also, Kyle, this past week the Advent devotion came out.
Yes,
and this is something that FBC has been doing for a long time. Mm-hmm. I feel like I have somewhere in FBC seen the collection of all of these, and it's been extensive for a long time.
It has.
So tell us a little bit about this year's, the theme and some of the writings and such.
Sure. The Advent devotional, Lauren was talking about one of her favorite things of the year, the litanies, the responses and things for the Advent wreath lighting. One of my favorite things is the Advent devotional booklet. Mm-hmm. I work with the Music and Arts Committee. We come up with a theme every year. We seek out writers from the congregation. There's a different writer for each day of Advent, and they turn in a short entry, a short devotional that we use, and we put together a booklet for people to read through Advent. It's a huge, incredible project, and I love every second of it. This year...
People probably don't know what all goes on behind the scenes.
They probably don't. They're like, look at that box. There are the booklets.
Right. Kyle works very hard to make that happen.
Many hours. But it's a creative outlet, I think, in a lot of ways. Not just for me, but for the people, I think, who write.
Yeah. Well, we actually have a lot of creative writers in our congregation.
We do. And I think people take this seriously. Like, they give us really good material, and they're all unique. They all talk from their own personal experiences and their backgrounds. They share stories. They share their thoughts and ideas on things.
I think you sometimes have people ask you in August what the Advent theme is.
I do.
Because they want to start.
I do, yes. Yeah. And also, Barbara Creaser asked me in August because she was trying to help me get things started, because she knows that this is a long process. She's been the chair of that committee, so
she knows
all the work that goes into that.
That's right.
So this year's theme, Josh, back to your question, was "And all shall see." It's taken from Luke chapter 3, verses 5 and verse 6, "And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." As I was looking through the lectionary passages for Advent this year, I noticed, and I'm sure this is probably every year,
they tend to use the same material.
Every 3 years it's the same. Yes, it's a rotating schedule.
Right.
But probably even in the other 2 years, they're coming from the same background. Uh-huh. Anyway,
it's hard to get away from that birth of Christ.
That's right. And specifically, there were lots of prophecies about Jesus coming and what Jesus was going to do for the world and how his life would affect, everything. And so I kind of wanted people to think about that, because in those prophecies were a lot of really big ideas and incredible things. Talk about, the wolf lying down with the lamb and peace among people and people being fed and not being hungry. Mm-hmm. A lot of wonderful things that we haven't quite gotten to yet in the world. So I asked people to think about that, and the committee asked people to think about where we are, what our world is like right now, and what it could be like if we would do some of the things that that we learn and that we believe as Christians to reach out and affect our world and ways that God, we see God working in our world and ways that, that God may work still yet in our world.
Right.
So you had some good responses this year too.
I did.
I've read through some of them and the ones I've read so far are fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, Bill Hurd wrote for the first day, talk about personal experience. He was talking about when he was a kid and his family.
I think that's one of the beautiful things about the Advent book is that you get to hear so many voices.
Exactly.
Right.
You know,
right.
In a lot of ways, as ministers, you know, sometimes we may feel like we're the four people talking, you know, or something. And it's so great to hear all the voices that are make up this rich community.
Absolutely.
Being able to speak into each other's lives through those devotions.
And I've had people tell me that they feel like through reading these every year, they actually get to know people better. It builds community because they're learning about their lives through these stories that they share.
Yeah, absolutely. And we didn't do it this year, but last year the children even wrote.
They did, and they drew.
And drew.
We put a picture
for
each kid.
Pictures, and they wrote, or with the help of, they were interviewed basically by their Sunday school teachers and contributed. So everybody has an opportunity.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Because you have some of our college students in there this year too.
We do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all ages.
So Kyle, to wrap it up, Christmas Eve service, what should we expect this year? We'll probably talk a little bit more about it as it gets closer, but this is always, again, this is a fan favorite. Many people say this is their favorite service of the year.
It is. We can expect something a little bit different this year.
Okay.
we're doing actually...
Are we doing dancing?
No.
Lauren,
we're still planning.
A little liturgical dance, right?
Maybe. We'll see.
We'll see. This year, we're doing... a service of lessons and carols, which is a tradition from King's College in England, I think is where that originated. So the bulk of the service is actually a reading of the Christmas story, and we're using the Gospel of Luke.
Correct, yes.
This year, we decided to.
Luke. Mm-hmm.
Luke to tell that story. So we've split it up, different passages from Luke that tell the Christmas story, and after each reading, there's going to be some kind of music, so there'll be a hymn, or there'll be the choir singing or a solo. So that's going to kind of be the flow of the service this year.
Yeah, and some of our people might be interested to know the readers for that will be a lot of our church members, many of them college students, though not all of them, who are people that are members of our church or grew up in our church but live away now because they're in school or because they have moved or for whatever reason, but are always back for the Christmas season. And so they're going to be our readers for that service.
Yeah,
and
it'll give them a chance to be involved and for people to...
to see them.
Yeah,
And see how that, you
since
know...
they've been away.
Yeah. So, that might be interesting for people to know. I think, I know that we've got Andrew Durden coming and Emma Roundtree will be reading. Melissa Blazek, Janice Lewis and Richard Lewis's daughter will be reading. So, got several people coming.
Yeah.
That'll be fantastic to see, too. I mean, it's just... It's beautiful to see because, you know, so many people grow up in a church and they move on to other things or move away. And it's just good for folks who saw those folks grow up in the church be able to participate again.
And they still love all of our tradition. All of these things we just talked about, they still love and they remember from when they grew up. And so they're really excited to be a part of one of those things again.
Right. Yeah. And even though things are going to look a little and be a little different, we're going to end with the candle lighting and everybody have their candle and sing Silent Night.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to go out on the steps, which is incredible. I showed a picture of our church singing out on the steps on Christmas Eve when I was home for Thanksgiving. And my family, so I forget who it was, somebody said, of course you can do that. You're in Savannah and it's warm. Because in Ohio it's snowing and they would not stand on the steps. It's often warm for Christmas.
But that's often people's favorite part of the whole evening.
Yeah, so we'll do that and we'll close by taking our candles out to the steps and singing and getting our benediction from
Which reminds me of the picture that you put on the front of the...
didn't talk about that.
Do you want to say where that came from?
So the picture on the front of the Advent devotional booklet is actually sort of... It's what I showed my family. It's the church 2 years ago on the steps with our candles singing at the end of the Christmas Eve service. It came from Diane Lapsley, who was a friend of Milton Newton, who Milton was a long-time choir member, passed away just recently, but dearly loved by everyone, I think.
Yes.
A lot of people in our church. And so she gave that to us, and we're using it kind of in his memory, in his honor.
Yeah, absolutely.
This year.
Yeah, that's a good tribute.
Yeah.
You know, to wrap us up, there's definitely some other activities that are going on. Sunday schools will have their different Christmas parties. I know the youth are having their Christmas party. The classics have their Christmas brunch that they have. And so Advent, not only from the programmed stuff, but all kinds of other stuff going on in the life of FBC in the busy month of December. And then, of course, people have their shopping to do and family visits and wrapping up school for some people. So in this time of preparation, it sure is busy to get prepared.
That's why you need music and meditation by candlelight.
That's right. This coming up Sunday, just for an FYI, our sermon this week is going to be A Prophet Whose Way Made Clear, taken from the Luke 3 passage, which I'm actually going to end with a reading of Luke chapter 3 for this Sunday. But Kyle, any special music that we should look forward to this week?
Actually, yeah. The choir is going to do, the anthem is a new piece that we've learned, but the introit is a well-loved piece, Let There Be Peace on Earth, that probably a lot of people will know. We're looking forward to that.
You know, I didn't bring this up earlier in the podcast, but why do we process in during Advent? Is this a special tradition for just Advent, or
it is something special that sort of sets apart the season of Advent? The choir, the ministers, will process in from the back of the church during the beginning of the service, and it is. I think it sets apart. We don't do it only for Advent, but it's one of the times that we do something different and special for church.
Yeah. Well, this was it. This was our first podcast. We're done.
We did it.
All right.
When we first started, I said, if we clock in at under 40 minutes, I think we'll be good. And by the way, Lauren and Kyle didn't believe me, but we're at 38 minutes, by the way. I thought 40 would be a good start that I assumed that we would hit. Although I'm going to edit out some interruptions. So, interruptions that we had, we're going to edit those out. But if you are listening to us and enjoy what you hear, then please give us some feedback. You can contact Lauren or Kyle or John or I about that. Also, if you want to visit FBC's website, it's www.fbc-sav.org. Or you can follow us on Twitter as well. And that the Twitter handle there is @FBCSAV. And we tweet out all sorts of stuff. We also have a Facebook page you can follow us on. As well. So to end us, I'm going to read the scripture that we will hear on Sunday and will be the subject of our sermon in Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. It says, "In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Etheria, and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of the Lord came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one calling out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God."